got some news too that just came in as we announced the $100 giveaway, right? Go follow and tag someone in the comments on the World Serve Instagram. Paul and Ciro leaned over and they said, hey, we'll throw in $100 too. So now $200 towards your mission trip is up for stake. So make sure you do that after chapel. Let's talk about this, right? We've provoked some questions of why we do missions. Why do we go when there is pain and suffering right here, right? Well, let's talk about it. I want us to go to John 21. This is a theme that we're going to talk about through missions. So if you are on a trip and you go to our trainings, you'll hear about this a lot. And in it, John is talking to, Jesus has just raised from the dead, he now has had breakfast with the disciples, which is, I guess, what you do when you raise yourself from the dead. And after having breakfast with them, he starts talking to them. And he has a really interesting moment with one of the disciples, Peter. And we read this starting in verse 15. He says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, then feed my sheep. There's so much to preach here, right? There's Jesus redeeming Peter after Peter had denied Jesus three times as Jesus goes to the cross. He redeems him with three, I love it, you know, do you love me? Not are you sorry? You know, do you regret it? Do you love me? There's so much to preach here, but I want us to focus on feed my sheep. You see, Jesus has restored Peter, but immediately after he has set Peter's eyes on the work ahead. We don't just get saved to sit in our rooms and binge watch TV shows and, you know, Jesus is great and go to church and just feel great about it. There is work ahead. There is work ahead in our city, in our nation. Like I said, 2,000 people experiencing homelessness in our own city. 5,000 methamphetamine overdoses in California. There were 39 school shootings in America last year that left at least one kid injured or killed. And 50,000 people in our country alone commit suicide per year in the United States. And there's work ahead. Then I look overseas and I see work ahead. I see India, where 234 million people live below the poverty line. I see Russia and Ukraine, Israel, Palestine, wars throughout all these countries where it's left millions displaced from their homes. I see Sudan, where 25 million, half of their population, live in acute food insecurity, and 80% of their hospitals have been destroyed because of a civil war. I see Brazil, where last year floods in the south displaced 60,000 people and killed 200. And then I look at the world as a whole and I see that there is work ahead. 28 million people in human trafficking. 2 billion, let me repeat that, 2 billion people lacking access to safe drinking water. And 3.4 billion people who are unreached with the gospel. There is work to be done in your city. There is work to be done in your state. There is work to be done overseas among the nations. Will you lift your eyes? Will you lift your eyes above what is going on in your fantasy football league? Will you lift your eyes above that celebrity relationship? Will you lift your eyes above the show that you're binge watching and see that the world is in desperate need? And some of us get more emotional over losing a game than we do about the fact that there's 2 every 2 minutes a child sold into trafficking. Some of us get more emotional over Travis and Taylor getting engaged than we are when we hear the fact that 3 million children under the age of 5 will die of starvation this year. As an American, I can say we do a great job of numbing ourselves to what is happening in the world. We do a great job of, you know, thoughts and prayers and then going among our days. What if God is asking you not to just send thoughts and prayers, but to be part of a solution? But we do such a great job of becoming completely disconnected to what's happening in the world. My ask for you is not to do this. I'm pleading that you will not live a life of Western Christianity where everything is about me, where everything is focused around my dreams and my goals, and as long as I get my white picket fence and my red brick house, everything's great. I'll follow Jesus then. I'm pleading you, do not follow this form of Christianity where it's all about you. It is not the faith that Jesus preached. It is not what you will find in the scriptures. You will find it in what we call the American dream. But are we willing to lay that down for the betterment of our entire world? For people to know Jesus who have never known him? Are you willing to lay that down and say, Jesus, whatever it takes? In Matthew 28:19, it was Jesus' final command. And he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. All nations. The Greek here is talking about all ethnic groups, languages, people groups, ethnic groups, all people. So does God only desire for the people in Pakistan to know him? No, it's not. That's not his only desire. Part of all nations is your neighbor. It's the person right across your dorm. They are part of all nations. So does God desire for your neighbor to come to know him? Absolutely. Another part of all nations is something you've probably heard a few times now, and that's unreached nations. And you may be asking, what is that? What does unreached mean? I have a map to show a demonstration of that. So if you were to look at this map, green areas would be areas that we would call reached. It doesn't mean that everyone's a Christian there, right? But it means that there is access to the gospel, right? Your friend who doesn't know Jesus isn't unreached because at any moment they could just drive to one of the 40 churches in Reading and ask someone about the gospel and they could tell them, right? You get to the yellow. This is where it's harder to find access to the gospel. It is harder to find someone who knows Jesus. But then we get to the red and what we call unreached areas. These are areas where it is very, very likely that people will be born, they will live their lives, and they will die never hearing the name of Jesus. These 3.4 billion people who will be born, live their life, die, and never hear the name of Jesus. The easy nations are taken. They're green. Only the hard ones are left. The darker red you get, you start to see countries that are hostile towards Christians. In Acts 1:8, it says, you will receive power, Jesus speaking, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth, to the red areas. You will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to Saudi Arabia. To Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, in the Congo, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and North Korea. God's desire is for the nation. So is his desire for your neighbor to know him? Yes. But also is it God's desire for unreached people groups to come to know him for the first time? Yes. But with our theme, thinking of feed my sheep, and maybe a holistic approach to this, Does God, we understand he wants people to know him, but does he care about the trafficked, the hungry, right? Does he want them to become holistically approached? Well, let's look at scripture. 1 John 3:17, 18, he says, "But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?" Children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. Guys, love is shown through action. Man, that's great. I love that you're telling me you love the homeless. What are you doing? They're right here. Man, that's great. You tell me you love your unbelieving friends. Are you doing life with them? Are you sharing the gospel with them? Love is shown in action. Look at verse 18. Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. I'm going to tell you right now, there are so many good talkers. Look at social media. There are so many voices and talkers in a world with everyone having a platform, everyone having a voice. I need less voices and more examples. I want to see love in deed and in truth, not just in word or talk. Simpson University, can we love our city? Can we love the nations? Can we love the unreached, not just in the way that we talk, but in the way that we structure and live our lives? It is what Jesus has asked of us. Matthew 25, Jesus tells a story of two groups of people, and he tells to one of the groups, he says, "I was hungry and you never fed me. I was naked, you never clothed me. I was in prison and you never visited me." To another group, he says, "I was naked and you did clothe me. I was hungry and you did feed me. And I was in prison and you did visit me." And both these groups are looking at Jesus saying, "We never saw you." And Jesus says something profound. He says, "What you have done to the least of these, you have done to me also." What you do to the least of these, the least of society, you have done to Jesus himself. So God's desire is for your neighbor to know him, yes. God's desire is also for the unreached to become rich, yes. But God's desire is also for the hungry to be fed, the in prison to be visited, the trafficked to be saved. That is his heart as well. But my biggest thing that I can answer, the biggest question is, does God desire to use you to accomplish those things? And the answer is an outstanding yes. God's desire, his plan, was to use his followers to reach neighbors, to reach unreached nations, to rescue traffics, to bring food to the hungry. You are a part of that. If you are following Jesus, this is a responsibility that he gives us. And I'm not just talking about short-term mission trips right now. I'm talking about the way that you live your life. Will you live your life not accepting a Christianity that neglects what is happening in the world? Will you reject a life that is a Christianity that's focused around you and say, no, there is a bigger picture here? Because there is a day, Revelation talks about this, where all of us from every tribe, every nation, every language will worship God together. I don't want that to be the first time that I meet someone from another language, from another ethnic group, from another tribe. I want my life to be lived to encounter the people right here in Reading, but also among the world. And when I hear all these stats, though, I can think of, man, there's just millions of people in poverty and millions of people experiencing hunger and the millions in sex trafficking. And I can start to just say, no, I don't want to think about that. Right? That's what most of our minds will want to do. I don't want to think about that. Lean in. Pray into it. Lean into the fact that there is things happening in this world and you can be an answer. We just had Jonathan Anderson come up and talk about one relationship with a youth pastor and his life that was involved in gangs and he almost was killed and he was homeless, turns into a man who now is the CEO of a company that is a non-for-profit that is impacting our city arguably more than any. Thousands of homeless coming to come reconciled with the Lord and come to have homes and jobs, right? He started, and it started with one relationship. I look at Benji Nolan, started in a ministry called Exodus Cry, right? It started with one moment where he was impacted by what was happening in sex trafficking, And now he's invited to speak at the United Nations. He's had over 400 million videos on porn websites taken down from his ministry. His ministry has created laws that have made it harder for people to fall into trafficking and harder for people to access pornography. And he started with one. So if we are overwhelmed with the state of the world, I'm asking you, I'm pleading you, focus on one. There was a story that impacted me deeply. I was at a conference and a pastor, David Platt, spoke about this story, and it's stuck with me for years. And it's a story about a young girl named Malia. Her name in her country means beautiful. She lives in a remote village in an unreached area in these red zones. She has no running water, no medicine, no food. Her and her siblings and her mom take care of each other because their father had left 2 years before our story takes place. Malia helped a lot with chores, washing clothes, getting water from a well. Even at 8 years old, she helped bring this family together. She was never given an opportunity to go to school. It was too far. And one time her mother even had to go a week without seeing her kids to find medicine for her sick brother. And Malia, 8 years old, was able to nurse him back to health. See, life was hard, but Malia and her family loved each other. They leaned on one another. They were a rock. One day, a man shows up to their village, and he sees how hard of a worker Malia is, and he talks to Malia's mom about how hard she works, and she says, "Yes, little Malia keeps us together as a family." He talks to her about an opportunity. He said, "Malia's a hard worker. I live in the city, and she could make a lot of money. She could send money back to you if she came and worked for me." He said that he would even let Malia come back for a month in the year to stay with her family, and they would have a steady income. Malia's mom, thinking of this, coming out of nowhere, she says, I'm thankful for your offer, but I just can't, I can't give up Malia like that. So she says no, and the man asks if he could politely return tomorrow, and out of Malia's mom trying to be polite, she says yes. The next day, the man shows up. This time, he has 200 rupees, more money than Malia's mom had ever seen. Malia's mom, thinking and just being able to actually see how much this would change her kids' lives and her life, she brings Malia into the conversation, and tears in her eyes, she tells her about this opportunity, but she gives it up to Malia. Malia, whatever you want to do. And so Malia realizes that this would change her family's life, and she's comforted in the fact that she can come back for a month and that she'll know that her family's doing well. And so she says that she'll do it. She says, I'll move to the city and work, and I'll come and visit you guys. So she tells her family goodbye and goes with the man into the city for a new future. Malia and the man make it to the city after a long journey, and he takes her to a restaurant. Outside of it, they see multiple women sitting down, and Malia is just thinking, wow, they must be so tired after a long day's work, just waiting for a meal. They go inside the restaurant, but it's different than any restaurant Malia has seen. It has tall, walled cubicles. They go inside one of these cubicles, which is private, and a large plate of food is given to Malia. She eats it quickly because she's just exhausted from the journey. She's then led into a small room to sleep with a cot and a slim mattress. And she would lay her head down that night, not knowing that it would be the last restful night's sleep that she would ever have. And I'm not going to go into the details of what happened to Malia night after night, after night, as she was sold to men over and over and over again. For Malia's family, they never saw a dollar from the man. And for all they knew, Malia had forgotten about them in the city. Not only this, but Malia was told that if she tried to escape, the man would get her sister to take her place. Malia is going through unimaginable physical suffering. But also, do not miss the point. Malia lives in a culture where your circumstances is based off of what happened in a past life. That's what Malia believes. Malia has no idea that God so loved her that he would send his only son to give her a hope when she has no hope. Reject a comfortable life that neglects Malia. Reject it. Turn from it. Don't let yourself live a life separate from what is happening. And how does short-term missions fall into this? I can tell you from experience, everything changes when you walk through Malia's village. Everything changes when you sit and you talk with that kid in El Salvador who's been in gangs since he was 4 years old. Everything changes when you meet with a kid in Brazil who knows no adult who shows them respect or is safe, and you bring safety to them. Something changes when you're in Central Asia and you preach the gospel to someone and they say, "I've never heard of this Jesus." Something changes when you see the cabin restaurants. And you see the woman outside. Something sparks in you to start that non-for-profit, to start that ministry, to say, "I will not stand. I will not live my life neglecting what is happening in my city and among the nations." My goal is not to get you on a missions trip this morning. My goal is in this season of college, as you're restructuring your life, to encourage you, to plead with you not to structure a life that is focused around you, but is focused around others. Live a missional life. Whether you're in Redding in the Bay Area, if you're in LA, if you're in New York, if you move across the nations to India, to Pakistan, wherever you are, live a missional life. The missionaries are not the only ones called to sacrifice. We as Christians are. The question is not, does God want the unreached, the homeless, the trafficked, your neighbors, Malia, to know him? The question is, do you? Do you? Again, not in word, but in deed. Do you want Malia to know about Jesus? Do you want the unreached to know about Jesus? Do you want the traffic to be rescued? Do you? We know that God's desire is that. Is it yours? So I'm gonna take a minute, and I want us to sit with the Lord and ask yourself that. Are you willing to lay down your dreams? I'm not asking you to become a missionary. I'm asking you, are you willing to structure your life for people to know Jesus all around the world? Are you willing to give up that dream so that the Malias of this world can come to know Jesus and be rescued from their hopeless circumstance? Are you willing? Ask the Lord that. Take a minute by yourself. In a moment, I'm going to ask. There's a response, and I want, in a moment, people to stand. If they are telling their peers and to God, who is watching down right now, God, I want to live my life for the betterment of the nations, whatever that may look like. And he may ask you to move overseas. He may ask you to stay in Reading your whole life. I don't know what that looks like. But if you are saying this morning that I want to live a life not about myself, but about others, then I want you to stand. Father, we pray right now that you would teach us. God, each one of us have such a unique way to walk out this calling that you have set before us to love people, to serve people here in our city and among the nations. God, we ask right now that you would show people, you would open eyes, you would birth visions of God, what you want our part to play in this to be. Father, we ask that this would be a marking moment. God, that we would live our lives, spend our time, spend our finances, all of the things that we may own. God, we pray that they would all be for the betterment of reaching people in our city, in our country, in the nations, in the unreached people groups. Father, in the massage parlors, in the cabin restaurants, in the homeless camps, God, we pray that our lives would impact the people that you so desire to come to know you. Jesus. We're going to have, if maybe the next step for you is, man, I do want to go on a short-term trip. We're going to throw the applications up. And then before you leave, I'm going to have Paul come up and pray. So we have space in chapel to fill this out right now if you'd like. And then if you need prayer, if something's hit with you, please come up and talk. We're going to have Paul pray a blessing, and then you guys can feel free to fill this out.
A prayer of blessing, I just ask you to maybe hold your hands out, look at me, and I want you to close your eyes. This is a blessing. Brandon, thanks for the challenge. And in that passage he referenced in Matthew 28, the last part of that, it says, "And I will be with you always." He challenges us and invites us to make disciples. And so I want to make a promise to you that Jesus is with you always. So as you walk out these doors, may you experience the deep and wide love of Jesus. The world doesn't just need us, it needs Jesus. And we happen to be the ambassadors. So you go as ambassadors in Redding, in California, across the U.S., across the world. And may the Lord be with you always as you step out today. In Jesus' name, amen.